Hello, it is October 8th, 2015. You are looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 532 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. Every year before the Cardinals, before the playoffs start, I have to do a Cardinals-centric podcast. This is the one you can skip, everyone. If you don't like the Cardinals, and I know that you don't, you can skip this one. Now, if you're a Cardinals fan, you'll probably enjoy this one because I have Bernie Miklas. Bernie Miklas, the long-time columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, recently left to be a writer and host on 101 ESPN in St. Louis. He is the great Bernie Miklas. He and I are going to talk all things Cardinals and the way that we react to the Cardinals, the way we react to media and sports now. But if you hate the Cardinals or if you don't get that weird cathartic kick from hate listening to Cardinals people talking about the Cardinals, some people like that. I don't know why you would enjoy, hate listening to anything. It is so hard in this world to find things that are pleasant to listen to. It is a bit, or to read, or to watch. It's hard to find good things. It baffles me why people will want to watch things or listen to things or read things that will purposely make them angry. But it's a thing, apparently. So if you are one of those people and the Cardinals hate is something that you feed on, you're about to have a blast. Or if you're just a Cardinal fan, you'll have a blast as well, because I'm here with Bernie Miklas. All right, Bernie, first off, you are now in, what, month three of the new gig at 101 ESPN after your years at the Post-Dispatch. How are you feeling? Are you pleased with how things are going? Are you happy over there?
Yeah, I love it. It's a new experience. I mean, the last 30-some years, up until 6 weeks ago, never had a weekend off. I'm not complaining. I love my work, but it's hard to explain. But once you realize you don't have to work every weekend, you can do things like normal people, and you know, you're not in airports, you're not in press boxes, you're not writing, you're not like, well, I can't do this with you today, sorry, can't go to your party, I have to write. It's actually quite liberating. I mean, I'm working as hard as ever, putting in as many hours as ever, but it's kind of like more on my terms, and it leads to just, it sounds corny as hell, but just a much more rewarding lifestyle, you know, where it's not 7 days a week totally underwater all the time. So it's really been wonderful.
How dare you try to enjoy your life for a moment before it's over? How rude. And of course, it's been a relief to me. You know, I have not that I was ever worried about this, but of course, when you went over there, there were these fears of like, wait, does this mean he's not going to be writing anymore? That is the opposite of that. Bernie is writing just as much as he always has, and that's been very exciting to see, which brings us to, you know, I thought about talking to you a little bit about the Rams Stadium thing, but I, you know, it'll be a couple days old by the time we put this up, and frankly, you know, it's the Rams. We're going to talk Cardinal baseball. We'll be up. You listeners from the future, you know who won the Pirates Cubs game. So Bernie and I will not know that when this goes up. So we'll just assume that they tied and just decided to forfeit the series for the Cardinals, which is fine. But I want to talk specifically.
Yeah, I mean that's okay with me too. You know, I love postseason baseball. So
exactly,
the Cardinals, long may you run. That's fine. You know, I love having stuff in town for. Just go on for weeks and weeks and weeks. That's okay with me.
So. If the Cubs and Pirates have to forfeit and don't play the Cardinals, their fans won't start hating the Cardinals for beating them, because we've noticed the last couple of years, being a Cardinal fan gets you yelled at all the time, which is fine. I've made my peace with it. So I want to talk to you about this year's team. You have been covering the Cardinals for a very long time. This strikes me as one of the most unusual and it's weird to think how little confidence I have in a 100-win team, and yet on the other hand, how inspiring. I joked this morning that the last 100-win team in baseball was the 2011 Phillies, who of course the Cardinals beat in that first round, and that was a shocking upset. It was an unbelievable thing that the Cardinals had beat these indestructible Phillies. The Cardinals don't have that vibe this year of this indestructible monster, but to me, that almost makes their achievement almost more than impressive.
Well, I agree, and I'm tormented in trying to just overanalyze this team, because you and I talked on my radio show the other day. I don't know that I've ever seen a Cardinals team that appears to be have so many questions. I mean, and again, we're talking about a 100-win team. This is only the fifth Cardinal team since the National League moved to 162-game schedule. This is only the fifth Cardinals team to win 100 games. I mean, this is a massive achievement for a regular season. Yet, I got 9 million questions about him and no real answers. And I don't feel like I even have a handle on them. And it's really weird in that regard. On the other hand, I gave the 2006 Cardinals, like, virtually no chance of doing anything. I thought there was going to be one and done, lose the series to San Diego, and then crazy things start happening. You know, like, you know, Jeff Weaver, all of a sudden, you know, October monster. I mean, just Anthony Reyes winning. So Taguchi hitting the homer off Billy Wagner. Jeff Suppan just basically untouchable. You know, Anthony Reyes beating Justin Verlander game one of the NL of World Series. You know, and I would have never for a moment conjured any of that up. 2011, same type of deal. Barely get into the playoffs. Team was dead in August. You know, Chris Carpenter called a team meeting basically to tell everyone, look, we're not going to mail this in. We may not have a chance here, but we're going to conduct ourselves like competitors. We're not going to embarrass the franchise. I mean, they basically were talking about how they were going to handle the fact they were playing out the string. And then, you know, the next thing you know, Carpenter's meeting Roy Halladay, and then they massacre Milwaukee with this barrage of offense. David Freese has gone nuts, you know, game six of the 2011 World Series, and it's like, what the hell did this happen? You know, so I think it just reinforces, Will, something that we all know, which is there's no script for this stuff. October's just crazily random. It's a series of, I've always said, series of lightning strikes. Unexpected people do remarkable things. Top players go cold. It's the kind of hot streak or slump that can happen, hit any team in May or June. Yet in October, it's obviously magnified. And it's, I don't know, you know, it's great to have such a crazy good insight here, but I have no idea what to expect. Now, how's that for a brilliant analysis?
Oh, I think that's actually about as accurate. I don't think they would say anything any different. And, you know, it's weird because, you know, you hear all this talk, understandably so, about the Pirates' success this year, and 98 wins, and the Cubs' success this year, getting to third place, you know, and good for the Cubs for that. But certainly there is something, you know, I was joking this morning about how if the whoever wins this game, and you listeners will know this, they're probably going to be favored over the Cardinals. There is this sense that the Cardinals are too injured. Which is fine because it feels like the offense is actually starting to come back a little bit in a way that just hasn't been the rest of the year. But to me, you know, when I look at this team, of all the injuries all season, of Wainwright being gone so long and Halladay being gone so long and even not quite being himself now and Grichuk not being himself now, the one thing that I think put the fear in Cardinals fans about this playoffs was the injury to Carlos Martinez. Because he was starting to kind of step up as a, remember, they were talking about putting him in the bullpen, and all of a sudden he was kind of asserting himself to maybe be the ace. And now you see that he's hurt. You've seen Walker take a step back. You've seen Lynn take a step back. Is there, of that pitching staff, are you concerned about, you know, a month ago we're like, well, Walker's obviously the number one starter, and now we're like, well, should we pitch Tyler Lyons? Is he going to be okay in that? Certainly, looking at this rotation, what is that what concerns you the most, or is it still kind of the lineup problems that they've had all year?
Well, it's all of the above, and but look, the one thing we can say about the Cardinals when they've gone deep into the postseason, even when they've, you know, gotten cashed out in the NLCS, which has happened a few times, but it does start with starting pitching. Yeah, I mentioned that Milwaukee series in 2011, and that was one exception. That was an NLCS where there was just a bunch of runs, and you know, both Cardinals' offense was just going absolutely nuts. You know, just scoring runs, it was absurd. But generally speaking, Cardinals have always had to outpitch teams, and I am generalized, but outpitch teams to make a run, and usually it comes from, you know, like I alluded to earlier, sometimes unexpected sources. Guys just exceed what we believe they could do. And I'll say this, though. I look at this rotation, and you know, maybe 2006 is a little bit of a parallel because, you know, the 2006 rotation, they were almost just like scrounging for starters. It's like they were looking for anybody to do it. And, you know, in desperation, they pick up Jeff Weaver, and he becomes the guy that, you know, sort of turns things around for him. It's just, it still makes no sense. But I see two starters here, and I see Lackey that I have faith in because he's got such an extensive period doing this, experience doing this. I see Jaime Garcia as your number two starter, and who would have thought that? I remember being down in Jupiter and just like, oh, there's Hani. He actually thinks he's going to pitch this year. I mean, it was seriously, he was almost a joke. And yet all of a sudden he started throwing this frisbee, wiffle ball thing on all his pitches. And it's like, whoa, what's up with this? And so who would have thought Jaime Garcia would, kind of the defense of all good things Cardinal would rest on his left arm. It's crazy. So I don't have... Frankly, I have very little confidence in Walker. I have very little confidence in Lynn, not because they're bad people, not because they lack character, none of that sports writer narrative stuff. It's simply because they have worked very, very hard, and I think that all of the warning signs are there. A decline in, strikeout walk rate, a big spike in home runs per nine innings. I mean, all the things that lack of command, throwing more pitches, all the things that you look at to tell you a pitcher could be fatigued. And, maybe this little break will refresh them. I have no idea, but I don't like the fact from a St. Louis standpoint that there's really only two guys I feel decent about going into another postseason run. And that's, they're going to need one, at least one of those other two guys, Walker, Lynn, to really sort of get it together if they physically can.
And then when you look at the roster, I find it fascinating to kind of see what the Cardinals are going to do with the roster. And this comes down to kind of a fundamental question about the team, which is it does sometimes seem, from the outside, but I think also from the inside a little bit, I was talking about this with your old colleague Derek Gould on Twitter yesterday, there does sometimes seem to be a dichotomy between the way that the general manager sees the world and the way that the manager sees the world. And, my general argument about Mike Matheny is he is a terrific major league regular season manager because he presses hard and the players love him and he's close enough to them in age and experience that they all have respect for him, but they also, don't see him as distant from them. And I think that is an ideal choice to get into the playoffs, and that is, after all, the goal anymore. Like, the goal is to get in the playoffs because random stuff happens all the time. That said, we have had two consecutive postseasons where that you could argue ended in a somewhat egregious Mike Matheny error. And so, particularly last year. So when you look at, like, for example, all of a sudden John Jay is in the lineup over Tommy Pham on a regular basis, and you wonder if John Jay is going to be on this roster, do you see that dichotomy? Is that something that's resolved? And are Cardinal fans just looking for something to complain about when we see some of the maybe strategic decisions and Matheny's trusting his guys sometimes getting in the way of maybe what's actually good for the team?
It's a great question. And I had Jason Stark on my radio show today, and we were talking about Mike Matheny, and he told a funny story that I think represents kind of this, what I refer to as like St. Louis Cardinal Nation. There's like a Matheny schizophrenia. I mean, it really is. It's like we don't know what to make of him, and we're all over the place, which is like totally bipolar. We're up and down on him. It's like extreme mood swings. Jason Stark was telling the story that he did a piece on Manager of the Year candidates, and he mentioned Madden right there with Matheny, and said a lot of things about Matheny. He said, he's bombarded by emails from Cardinals fans just saying, that's a joke. Matheny's an idiot. He doesn't know how to run a bullpen. Come on. We like the guy, and he's a great leader, but come on. He's not in Madden's class. He's a joke. Then when Stark actually wrote the column, follow-up column, relatively short while later, he said it basically they both deserve it, but he would pick Madden. And then everybody, Cardinals fans, are bombing him with the exact opposite. You got to be kidding. Matheny did a great job. Who did a better job than him? We can't make up our mind about Matheny. I know as a writer, journalist, sportscaster, idiot, whatever, I'm in that group too. I mean, one minute I'm throwing things at the TV. I'm frightening our pets. My wife's telling me to calm down. I mean, and the next minute I'm like defending Matheny. It's like, why can't you people see what a great job he's done? I'm totally, totally schizophrenic when it comes to Mike Matheny. So I don't have it. That's the other thing. I don't have an answer. The best that I can tell, here's how I put it the other day. Really, I'll try to be brief. There's more to managing than just strategy. And to me, yeah, you manage games, you run games. That's a big part of it. There's no question. But you also have to manage you have to manage people. You have to get your players to play hard. You got to get them to buy in. Pardon the cliche, but you do. you have to manage your own leaders to make sure that they're whatever message you're trying to spread, that you spread in the clubhouse, they take care of it. You're managing crises, you know, like injuries, keeping everyone calm, not taking small things and blowing them up and freaking everybody out. I mean, you're managing kind of the tradition of the franchise and the standards, and it sounds corny, but look, around here, they're expected to win, and they do. I'm not even saying they're expected to play a certain way, but they are expected to kind of take this very seriously. And it's like, look, we're not going to embarrass ourselves around here. I mean, it's a message that they constantly reinforce with Matheny and some of the older players. I would say that strategically, he's still at times a mess, and yet I can't sit here and say, well, therefore he's the village idiot because he overworks Trevor Roosevelt, Kevin Seegers, and Seth Maness, or because he has this favorite son thing with John Jay. I can't say, well, look, he's a complete dunce. No, because all the other things I mentioned, he's excellent at. And so there's just different compartments of his managing, and the best thing I think to do is to say, you understand that it's going to be an adventure strategically, but you also have to appreciate the things that he does really, really well, because he's as good as anybody in the game, if not better, in terms of managing people. And you know what? This is okay. That's totally okay. It's okay to have a manager who's not perfect, and it's okay to have a manager who will blunder in some games, but also will take care of business really, really well for the entire season. But to your point, I sort of now come back to what you said. I think it's a little scarier in the postseason because it's not all about keeping a team on the right path and keeping everything going and keeping people from losing their minds during 162 games. You know, this is more of a short run. This is a sprint, and this is where I think some of his weaknesses are more exposed. Long answer, but I hope it had some insight.
No, of course. I think you're right, and you know, and you wonder sometimes, particularly you know, with the way the last year ended. I mean, to me, you know, Mo Zalak must have been tearing his hair out with the way that last season ended. And, you know, and you've heard reports of how kind of upset he was and how they needed needed to look at things just in a little bit different fashion. Excuse me just a moment. Sorry. Good podcast coughs. You're welcome, America.
No problem. I could have done some singing during that.
Exactly.
But that's all right. Go ahead.
So, but, you know, one thing that I think gets lost a little bit, while I do think Matheny deserves a lot of credit for keeping this team on track during all of its issues and all of its injuries this year, on the other hand, one of the reasons that they were able to stay afloat is the depth that Mo Zalak has given this team. You know, the idea that yeah, sure, Holiday gets hurt, but then you have a Piscotty ready, or you know, Grichuk gets hurt and you have a Pham. You had the backup of Reynolds, or you had the backup of guys at other positions to fill out. One of the things that's been exciting for me to see about, and I think is exciting about this year's team, is in the past, we talked about this on your show, there were years where the bench was Nick Punto and whatever pet that La Russa might have lying around that he wanted to feel.
That's right.
And Terrio or DeRosa or you know, Bo Ryan or whoever else was hanging around. But now, you know, it does feel the fact that the Cardinals would be in a position where Brandon Moss, who's not a superstar, but like certainly a quality bat, might not actually make the postseason roster is encouraging to me. And I want to talk less about the postseason this year, but where that looks going forward, because the Cubs obviously aren't going away. The Pirates aren't going away. But I hear sometimes people talk about, wow, the Cardinals are getting older. Wainwright's getting older. Molina's getting older. Holiday's getting older. But to me, this season is a pretty good sign of what Mo Zalak and the brass have kind of put together to build this team to where there's a reason there's probably not going to be any Cardinals in the top 10 of the MVP vote, maybe Hayward, even though they've won 100 games. So for me, that is the success of this season, despite the injuries, strikes me as something that's not actually just Mike Matheny's managing genius or just pure luck, but actually something that I think is Mo Zalak has planned for. He always talks about keeping his powder dry and like not doing doing trades out of desperation. To me, and stockpiling talent. To me, this is the year that is maybe the result of that.
No, I agree, and one thing I learned this year about the Cardinals in terms of their organization, look, I have high regard for Mo Zalak. I think he's really terrific. And I also understand that occasionally there's going to be a trade that may not work out the way we all hoped or expected. That's okay. Body of work, profoundly good. I think Bill DeWitt Jr. is, you know, I've written this, and I believe it, and I've covered all these other sports. I think enough to know, especially the NFL, enough to know a good owner when I see one. I think Bill DeWitt's as good as anybody in sports. I mean, just, you know, MLB aside, I'm talking any sport. I mean, as far as quality of ownership, I mean, he gets it. He's terrific at running a franchise, and Mozeliak, of course, being someone who, you know, shares his vision. I mean, they have a great organizational harmony. They really do, even with some of the controversies that have happened. But I underestimated the quality of some of their position players. And I will temper this only by saying, look, I think Tommy Pham's been an amazing story. You know, I need to see a lot more of this. I mean, he absolutely came through when they needed it at a terrible time for the team. A wonderful rescue by Tommy Pham. But is he really that good, and can he sustain this? Can he do this next year? I don't know yet. I think Stephen Piscotty really is that good. And I think Stephen Piscotty is such a smart guy and has such good judgment at the plate and an approach and everything else. He's actually a better major league hitter than he was in the minors, because he can figure out what major league pitchers are trying to do to him. And he also knows he's going to get strikes. You know, minor league guys, they're throwing balls all over the place and they really don't have a plan. It's just kind of like helter skelter. He's actually going to be a better major league hitter than minor league hitter. But is he going to be a 35 home run guy? No, but he's just a really, really good hitter. But again, you know, it's not like there's an extensive track record. And remember how excited we were about Matt Adams? And then Matt Adams, all of a sudden, about a year and a half ago, couldn't even dominate right-handed pitchers anymore. So you just don't know about these guys. The one thing about the Cubs young guys, you know, they come to the majors with more established pedigrees. When you get the Baseball America rankings out or whatever and put Piscotty and Pham and even Grichuk, Greg Garcia, all these guys, the young Cardinals, you know, and you put them next to, you know, Bryant and Russell and Schwarber and Soler, and, you know, that you're like, well, wait a minute. I mean, one's an A-list, one's a B-list. So we'll just have to see how that all plays out. But there's no question during the emergencies that popped up during this season, the regular season, I mean, the farm system had an answer virtually every single case. That was really reassuring if you're a Cardinals fan. Now, I still think that there's a little bit of a void position player-wise in the system, but they always seem to have guys that we underestimate that get to the majors and are much better than we think, like an Alan Craig being a great example, at least for a while. So it's a fascinating organization, and I do give Mozeliak credit for the organization credit for giving these players to Matheny, but still he won with them, and he won with younger guys that were not nearly as highly regarded as the counterparts in Chicago. And if I can extend this answer for 1 minute, this position is totally relevant.
No, hit me.
And you know, I was just noodling around with some stats. So it went to StatsCast. I was really curious about this, and I want to preface this by saying, I think Joe Maddon is a terrific manager. I'm not trying to be petty here. I'm not trying to be a homer. I think Madden's done an excellent job with this young talent that he's had. But it occurred to me, especially the second half of the season when the Cardinals had all of these problems, you know, keep staying healthy, and they had to bring Piscotty up, and they had to bring Pham up, and they had to rely on Greg Garcia more. I was looking at this, like the second half of the season, rookies gave the Cubs something like, you know, 900 and some plate appearances. Rookies gave the Cardinals something like 625 plate appearances. There's not that much of a difference. And if you look at the pitching staff, if you're looking at pitchers age 25 and younger, the Cubs this year got 188 innings out of pitchers 25 or younger. The Cardinals, on the other hand, got 484 innings out of pitchers 25 and younger, including 66 starts. The Cubs, the young pitchers, basically we're talking about Hendricks, 33 starts. So this sort of gets it. I'm almost like touching back on the other subject, the manager thing, but it's really interesting to me because Joe Maddon deservedly gets lavish praise for handling young talent and getting the 97 wins with this young talent. In terms of the entire season, Mike Mussini had a much younger pitching staff than the Cubs, much younger. The other thing is that over the second half of the season, when the Cardinals had to turn to young players in the farm system, young players who were less acclaimed than the Cubs' young prospects, let's be honest. I mean, Steve, no one's saying Steve Piscotty's better than Chris Bryant. I mean, no one's saying Greg Garcia is Addison Russell. No one's saying that Tommy Pham is Kyle Schwarber. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yet, playing rookies, I'm talking about hitters, nearly as much, it's not that much difference. In the second half of the season, less acclaimed rookies, Mussini still managed to win more games. And it's, again, it's this paradox of Mussini. It's like the thing that Madden is, again, deservedly getting credit for and getting praised for, Mussini did the same thing in his own way. And like we always say, I got the numbers to back that up. But yet he's not perceived as someone who, it's just like, you know, the stuff you hear about Madden, oh man, he kept that group loose, he kept them on track, you know, look at how he's, you know, indoctrinated, brought these young guys along. Well, what the heck did Mussini do, especially the second half? And what did he do with the young pitching staff? I mean, I think you see my point, and I think it's a point that, frankly, not a lot of people think about. So I'm kind of happy with myself that I did the research on that. Anyway.
No, I think it's just the cool glasses. I think Madden is – it's the cool glasses. Listen, I think Madden's a terrific manager, and I have to say, listen, I have hammered – Mussini a lot in the last couple of years. I'm coming around on certain things. I am. And I mean, I think, frankly, the success during the regular season speaks for itself, particularly in a game now where the goal is to get in the postseason. Because you're right. Like, they're, like, you know, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, Jeff Weaver or David Freese are going to turn into a monster, and you can't really stop them, and who knows why that happens. But it does. So, you know, to me, that's a reason that's why predicting any sort of result, let alone in a 5-game series or 7-game series, but like predicting a wild card game, it's like, you know, I joked this earlier, it's like pretending the DraftKings is not gambling but is actually a fact of skill. It is not, you're just guessing, and it's gambling. And so, you know, predicting what's gonna happen in the postseason is a fool's errand. Now I'm curious, as you've seen the Cardinals fan base evolve, I only have a couple more things for you. As you've seen the fan base evolve, I have noticed Gould called this a sort of Yankeeization of Cardinals fandom, and the idea that, like, you know, I don't think that Cardinal fans have to sit around all the time just like hugging their Fred Bird dolls, saying this team won 100 games. I'm so lucky. Thank you, Cardinals. I will support you in everything that you do. But certainly the idea that this season this team could win 100 games, but if they lose in this NLDS, particularly if they lose to the Cubs, I have to say it's going to feel like I feel like there's going to be more anger than necessarily appreciation of the year the team has had. Have you seen that? Is that natural, or is that something in the Cardinals fan base that is kind of inherent to their expectations?
Well, it's a tough one to answer. I tend to overreact or overestimate, you know, stuff I see on Twitter or other forms of social media, even on the talk show that I do, where we get bombarded with text messages. And I think you know, my perception of the true feeling of fans, I think it's skewed, because I'm just hearing from people that just generally tend to be more outspoken and generally tend to be more unhappy than happy. And I don't know whether they really represent, you know, the overwhelming majority of Cardinals fans. I don't think they do, but they are persistent, they are loud, and they do pop up a lot on social media, and God bless them for doing it. I mean, I've got no problem with that, obviously. So I'm not sure whether I'm fair in terms of my barometer for this. I don't know that it's accurate, but it does seem to me that we, and I put myself in this group too, because I find myself overreacting, you know, constantly to, you know, losses or bad managerial decisions or whatever. And I do think there's been a little bit of a loss of perspective. I do think that we're all spoiled to an extent. There's different levels of being spoiled. If you recognize that you're spoiled, I think that's okay. Some people, I don't even think, realize that they're spoiled. I mean, I see such anger, just, you know, people just losing their minds and just, I mean, really, truly being angry. Poor Trevor Rosenthal. you know, he's pitched into the ground by the manager. He'll take the ball anytime they ask. I mean, he gets warmed up all the time. You know, he never gets into a game. He's, you know, thrown more pitches 2 years in a row than any closer in baseball. He saves 48 out of 51, and we all know the save stat can certainly be, you know, but they keep track of it, and he saved 48 out of 51. He had a really bad weekend against Milwaukee. There's no question about it. And my goodness, it was just like, you know, he, you know, arrest him, send him to prison, drag his body through the streets, beat him with a cane. I mean, it's like people just lose their minds over what I consider to be relatively minor blips. Now, is this just the angry minority, or do they reflect the greater population? I hope it's the angry minority, but I do think even some people, some really dear friends of mine, have a touch of that irrational kind of reaction to negative stuff that I never saw in them before. So I think it's kind of spreading a little bit. And it's weird, too, though, because you would think, because, you know, these aren't just exclusively Cardinals fans. There's a lot of great fans in St. Louis who are Rams fans, Cardinals fans, and Blues fans. And you would think, like, given the hell, the living hell that is the NFL experience in St. Louis, and the fact that the Blues, even a really good team and all that, you know, have, just can't win a Stanley Cup, you would think that that would infuse the St. Louis fans who love all three teams. They would infuse some perspective, but that's not necessarily the case. So it's really interesting to me. And you know, I don't want a test case here. I don't want to see the Cardinals, you know, all of a sudden disappear and not be good for, you know, 7 or 8 years. I don't want that. I love to cover and write about and talk about great things. And I love going to, you know, totally packed ballparks where there's nothing but excitement. I mean, what's the whole point of this? But, yeah, I do think we're a little spoiled. And so, and I tell you what, too, Will, if it's the Pirates or the Cubs, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Cardinals lose, not because the Cardinals, you know, are dogs or they're lacking character or they're dumb or they don't care or whatever. All these narratives we attach to like a team that loses, where it's like a test of wills, whatever. Now, you know, the Cubs are 45-18, and you know, that's how they closed their season before meeting Pittsburgh in this game yet to be played as we record this. 45-18. That's a hell of a baseball team. I mean, the Pirates have, what, the second best record in the majors over the last 3 years? I think that's the stat. If they're not second, they're right up there. And they've dogged the Cardinals every step of the way for 3 years straight. Why would it be considered shocking or stunning or unacceptable for the Cardinals to finally lose out to, say, the Pirates, who have been, like, right on their neck for 3 years in a row, like, almost nonstop? I mean, again, it comes down to perspective. I mean, these are really good teams. These are the top three teams in baseball, according to winning percentage for the regular season. So, you know, I'm with you. I mean, I feel like if they lose to whatever team is, if they lose, I mean, people are just going to completely, it's almost going to be like the whole Bill DeWitt era has been a joke and, you know, everyone's a joke. And I mean, it's just like, I fear what, you know, kind of what it's going to do around here, because I think people are just going to go just absolutely nuts. So we'll see if it happens.
Which is crazy. Yeah,
as far as winning or losing, they may win, so who knows? But
yeah, it's absolutely crazy.
It's ridiculous.
It's possible that the Cardinals could make the NLCS for, I believe, the 11th time in the last 20 years. I think that's the actual numbers. Which is insane. That's absolutely insane. And if the Cardinals lose that game, losing the NLCS, I think people will be angry. Now, I have a theory about this, and I want to kind of close with this. I have a theory about this. I have a theory about what actually pushed the Cardinals into being a lot of Cardinal fans into being a little bit more crazy. I actually do think it's related to Pujols leaving. I actually do think that was, there was something about, you know, I don't blame Pujols for making the decision that he did. I think it was the smart business decision. It was a poor business decision by the Angels, but it was a smart decision for him. I think there was some ugliness on the way out the door. But certainly, you know, it to have 2011, which I would argue is the actual pinnacle of being a sports fan. Like, that is as good as it gets, to what happened in Game 6 and, to a lesser extent, Game 7. And by the way, to a lesser extent, I mean winning the World Series. That tells you how great 2011 was. And then to have La Russa leave, and then Pujols leave, that felt like a demarcation line in a lot of ways, to where now I think fans want one post Pujols. I think that's part of it. And I also think, you know, I think having Matheny there, and he's such a different kind of manager than La Russa. I think if they won one more, because it's weird because, you know, if they would have like not made the playoffs one of the last 3 years, I think there'd be less pressure on them right now. I think we'd be more excited if they would have not made the playoffs one of the last 3 years. But when they make the playoffs, you know, I live in Georgia now, and I know a lot of Braves fans. And I can tell you, this is not just a Cardinals thing. A lot of Braves fans were deeply unhappy that their team won the NL East every year because they only got one World Series out of it. Now, I'm curious, you know, when we think of great teams during this Cardinals run, I think there's three that immediately come to mind. 2004, just because it was so amazing. 2006, because they won the World Series. 2011, because they won the World Series. But that 2011 team was infuriating. Like, I couldn't even watch them anymore at one point in August. I mean, it was so, and like, as you talked about, like Carpenter saying, let's show some class as we lose down the stretch, to see that team ultimately win. But the point is now, a lot of Cardinal fans don't even remember how ugly 2011 was. They just remember Game 6 and they just remember Game 7.
Do you think
there will be positive memories of this year's team, this 100-win team with injuries to Holiday, with injuries to Wainwright, with injuries to Grichuk and Adams and Piscotty and you name it? Do you think there will be positive memories of this team if they do not win the World Series?
I'm sorry. Well, how can there not be? Yeah. And I'm not getting soft in my, you know, middle age. But how can there not be? I mean, you win 100 games with all these terrible things that went wrong. And, you know, and I'm not making a joke here. I'm really not. It almost sounds like I'm trying to be, you know, pithy or whatever, and I'm not. But it's like so many bad things have happened to the Cardinals during the season that it occurred to me last week, it's like no one even mentions Oscar Tavares, or very rarely. It's like almost like that's not even included in sort of like this whole trial of emotions and hardship and having to replace people and just having to, you know, kind of just find a way to persevere and push through all this stuff. It's like, you know, oh yeah, you know, your top prospect, you know, kills himself in an auto accident, you know, drinking and driving. It's like, oh, we kind of forgot about that. Oh, that's, you know, that happened a while back. I mean, it's like, it's just amazing what they've gone through. And also just when you think about, the emergence of a Randall Grichuk, who has in franchise history, you know, second to Pujols in terms of rookie slugging percentage and rookie, you know, extra base hits and all these other things, rookie OPS. I mean, I'm talking about during modern times. I think, you know, since they lowered the mound, but still, you see that breakout. You see Carlos Martinez. It was an absolute delight every time the guy pitched. I mean, just really beautiful in so many ways, including his personality, and so anti-Cardinal in a way, almost like, what's the word, almost subversive in a way.
Yeah,
that's what made him
agreed.
Even
agreed.
More appealing.
Absolutely.
You know you see the story of a Tommy Pham, 27 years old, injury after injury after injury, finally getting his chance and helping this team win a division. Adam Wainwright coming back, which is just insane, coming back from a blown Achilles tendon. You have a situation where, you know, Stephen Piscotty, you know, doing his thing. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I'm leaving stuff out. But it's like, how can anyone be bitter about this team or not have some fond memories of this team? And again, if they were playing in some of these old NL Centrals where, you know, let's face it, competition was less than stellar. Okay, you say, well, look, they beat up on a bad division, and I know they won 100 games, but we all kind of knew they weren't that good. No, this is, again, second best winning percentage in baseball, Pirates. Third best winning percentage, Cubs. Hottest team in baseball the last 2 months, Chicago Cubs. I mean, they withstood all of this. Everything that, you know, people just hit them with. I mean, this game hit them with. The journey hit them with. They withstood all of it and, oh, by the way, held off the two other best teams in baseball. So, I mean, I think there's no turning back in terms of, you call it the Yankeeization. If people are going to be all bitter over the season if the Cardinals go down, there may not be any kind of turning back because that's really going to be going into an area which would be, you know, pardon my drama, but I mean, I would find kind of appalling actually. So I just you don't want to see the franchise spiral into some kind of losing, you know, this 10-year blight, but it's I hope people appreciate this. But, you know, while you were talking, I was thinking about something. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. And please give a long-winded answer like I've been doing the whole podcast.
No, that's what
we want. How much of this perceived lack of perspective is generational? I was thinking about it. When Jim Edmonds came to the Cardinals, yeah, 2000 kind of set them off in a whole new direction. So when Jim Edmonds came to the Cardinals, it was the spring of 2000, right? If you were a 10-year-old kid, all right, you're now 25 years old. Or if you're a 12-year-old kid, you're now 27, you know. How much of it is the fact that this is all a lot? I mean, Cardinals have a lot of young fans. How much of this is generational based on the fact that this is all the big generation of Cardinals fans, this is all they've only known? Win, 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 win. Very few disappointments. It's a way of life. We expect it. We demand it. Anything else is unacceptable. You think it's generational?
Partly. I really do think, though, that it is, you know, what's the old maxim about the frog in water? Like, you know, if you don't really realize how hot the cold it is if you turn up the temperature 1 degree at a time for a long period of time. Now, for the record, the frog will eventually jump out of the pot when it's boiling. I've never understood why people think a frog would not realize, oh, I'm dying. It's hot in here. I should get out of this pot. But certainly the premise of it still just kind of stands. You know, and I think it's not something specific to Cardinals fans. Maybe I'm in denial on this. I don't think so, though. Like, to me, you know, look at the Red Sox. Like, Red Sox fans, we're fatalistic and everything's falling apart. I'm going to be so unhappy and this team is cursed. I'm going to be all they do is they got my parents and they got my grandparents and now they're coming for me. And then they won a World Series and then all of a sudden, why didn't we win this year? Why didn't we win next year? This is appalling. Why are we not winning all the time? And if you don't think that Cubs fans are not going to be the exact same way if they don't put 10 years of – I mean, right now, it looks like the Cubs, to me, look like a team that's going to be good for the next half decade plus, like a solid top-tier team that's going to be competing for championships every year. If they win one, or even if they don't win one, after like the third or fourth year, no one's going to be impressed by winning the NL Central or winning the wild card. They're going to want it. And to me, that is – it's less – it may be a generational thing. For me – I think it's more that I think people probably always thought this way. I think that there were probably people in 1945 and 46 when the Cardinals won in 43, 45, 44 and 45. In 46 were like, unbelievable. I can't believe this team. For crying out loud, they won it the last 3 years and this year they choked. I'm sure those people existed. We just couldn't hear them. And I think that those people probably – like, in retrospect, I was 11 years old in 1986. Cardinal fans must have been furious. Why did we let the Mets take over for the Cardinals that year? The 85 was supposed to – they had this great team in 85 and fell short. 86 must have made people so angry. And, you know, and losing to the Twins in 87 must have made people really angry. The difference is we could hear everybody being angry now. I don't know if it's if to me, the generational part is a matter of the technology and the ability to witness everyone getting angry about this and being impatient about this more than it is this particular generation of people being different than generations before. But again, it's easy for me to say that because I'm not from the generations before. And frankly, I'm not from the young generation either. I can't kid myself there. But I think that a lot of this talk about why are Cardinal fans not happy or why are they frustrated with this, to me – I generally agree with your overarching point, which is that, you know what, they generally are. They generally are happier, and I think that you see it more every day, and I see it more every day. So it feels like – and listen, I feel it. You know, like I get – like I you know, I don't – when people listen to this, I don't know if they'll know whether John Jay or Tommy Pham made the postseason roster, but I'm going to be upset if John Jay makes the postseason roster over Tommy Pham. But that's just because of my viewpoint. You know, there are other people who think John Jay has done so many great things for this team. It's disrespectful not to put this guy who has shown he can perform in the postseason over this guy that had like a hot month. You know, so like that doesn't, you know, and so for me, like I'm angry because I'm coming at it from my perspective, but it doesn't make my perspective right. And I think that, you know, but that's the point is I can say that now. I can go on Twitter and go, Matheny, you are history's greatest monster. How could you put Jay over Pham? And people will be like, wow, there are people really upset about him putting Jay over Pham. But that may not actually be true. I just think that you can see it. And I think you and I, because we are tapped into this media world, we feel it more acutely. But the fact is, this is one of my biggest crutches when I talk about the Cardinals are really all of baseball, but I'm going to do it again anyway. When I talk to my dad, he doesn't know any of this crap. He just doesn't know any of this crap. He goes to the stadium, and he loves this, and he roots for the Cardinals, and he was so proud of himself for knowing Stephen Piscotty before he came to the team. But, like, that's, like, because he just never knows minor leaguers beforehand. Like, he doesn't pay attention to that stuff. And so much of the chatter and some of the things that you and I get wrapped up at, I think you can make a strong argument. He is more like the average fan that goes to the games, who goes in and wants to be happy if their team wins. And so I think you and I see it because we're tapped in more time. This is another reason during the postseason why I delete Twitter from my phone during Cardinals games. I want to enjoy them. I don't want to see people yelling. I don't want to be yelling. And I find it not that maybe this is old fashioned, but I kind of like having an only one screen experience during Cardinals baseball games.
Real quick follow up. I was thinking as you were talking, it's about the technology and how obviously the culture's changed, the instant reaction that goes over, you know, multiple platforms and fans, media alike, and the things we all say in the heat of the moment. And, I'm thinking about the greatest Cardinal of them all, Stan Musial. And I'm thinking that, you know, I'm thinking about some tweets that I get through the time. Whenever the Cardinals aren't doing well, you know, you'll get a tweet or I'll get a text or I'll get an email from somebody, you know, talking about Matt Holliday. Well, you know, it's like, you know, what have they ever won with him? The last time they won a World Series, he got hurt. Or, you know, they were lucky that Alan Craig was there, blah, 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 blah. You know, he's not clutch, blah, 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 you know. People were turning on Wainwright, you know. Just, when's the last time he won a big game in the postseason? Blah 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 blah. You know, and it's like you can't even answer the question. You know, there are answers to the question, but it's like, what's the point? You're dealing with rage. And I remember thinking, like, you know, with some of these, it's like, can you imagine that Twitter existed when Stan the Man Musial, the most beloved, venerated Cardinal of them all? You know, early in his career, they make the World Series, three times, win it three times. And he's not in the postseason the rest of his career. 1945 through the end, excuse me, I'm sorry, 1947 through the end, which was his final season, 1962. Can you imagine if, you know, like Bernie's Press Box Forum or Twitter or Facebook or you name it. Can you imagine things people would have been saying about Stan Musial? It's like, well, look, you know, he's got all these stats, but what has he won? How long has it been since he's been in the postseason? You can't win with him, you know. You know, everyone talks about how great he is. Well, what have they won? You know, seriously, it's almost funny and almost sad to think about it. Seriously, people would have been the same people that force you to kind of turn your phone off or delete the Twitter app during the postseason. Can you imagine the stuff that would have been said about Stan Musial? Seriously. I mean, it's scary, isn't it?
I mean, but the fact is, I think you can make an argument. Those things probably were said about Stan Musial. They were just said,
right,
they were just
right.
said to someone's dog. You know, they were yelled at someone's dog or yelled.
That's
yelled.
Exactly right.
So, you know, for me, yeah. I think we just now, we can all pretend that people were somehow more cordial and more, respectful back then, and maybe they were. I don't know. I wasn't there, but so
no, I agree with you. Yeah. I didn't kind of relay that right. No, I'm
no,
sure
I know what you're saying.
Were
I know.
Thinking
oh,
that.
No, I agree.
They didn't have the outlet. And you know, I said to Whitey Herzog one time, and you know, I think he kind of laughed, but I don't think he got the joke. I love Whitey. I mean, this was early. This might have been within the last year. I said, you know, Whitey with his Twitter and all this stuff. I said, yeah. I know you don't have any use for this stuff. I said, can you imagine? I mean, the way you would have been ripped about some of these managerial decisions. It's just crazy the way things are. I said, people would have said, why did he take Ken Daly out? Why did he even bring Yoro? You know, Game 6 of 1985. And the fact that I was even joking about it got him mad, and we're friends. It's just like, but it's true. Can you imagine? There's another example. Can you imagine Twitter, you know, that the night of Game 6, I mean, after going nuts on Denkinger, then it would have been. And by the way, you know, Ken Daly's just blowing the Royals away. They can't even touch him. Why do you pull him out of the game? Herzog's overrated. You know, it's really kind of, it is. What a beautiful world this is. I mean, and I mean that sincerely. It's absolutely great. But you know, I don't think the job of running a team's gotten any easier. I don't think the job of being a superstar's gotten any easier, even though the pay is a lot better.
Well, I would rather live in a universe where Whitey Herzog has no idea what Twitter is. I think that's a happier place for Whitey Herzog and maybe a happier place for the rest of us. Bernie, as you know, I am a huge admirer of yours. It is an honor to have you on. I'm not traveling for any postseason this year unless the except for the World Series. I'm going to the World Series, wherever it is. So hopefully I will see you in St. Louis and whatever city the Cardinals play. In the World Series, come October/November this year.
So that I don't know I don't know how much I'm going to be traveling. Probably not at all. I mean, my whole job has changed, and that's okay. I'm good with that. But I hope to see you soon. And you know, it's probably late for you and I to make this a regular thing. But we need to talk about doing it for next season. You know, I just enjoy talking with you about Cardinals baseball and all Cardinals stuff, all baseball stuff. So. You and I had mentioned you know, we may maybe do a regular podcast. I would really love it, so let's get that done.
I would be honored. We'll talk about it. We'll get through this postseason, and then I will do it if you want me. So thank you. So Bernie, thanks. Be safe out there. I'll see you in St. Louis then for those games in the World Series. But and of course, everyone, make sure to listen. What are the hours of the show? The exact hours of the show, everyone.
7 to 10 Central, you can go to stream it at 101sports.com. If you're in St. Louis, the FM station is 101.1. And I also write a lot, and thanks for mentioning that at the top of our podcast. I write a lot, 2 or 3 pieces a day at 101sports.com, a lot of Cardinal stuff too. So I'm just doing the same stuff. I just have a different address. I just moved neighborhoods. That's all.
Yeah, it is very – that move was made so much easier for me to handle and realize, oh, wait, no, he's just writing just as much as he always was. Okay, fine, cool, go ahead, good luck, man. So I was very happy that it turned out that way. So, and, of course, everyone can follow Bernie on Twitter at Miklas, M-I-K-L-A-S-Z. So, Bernie, thanks. Right. Be safe. We'll chat soon. This is the Willis Experience Podcast, the music by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. We're doing a preview podcast with Allison Footer all week, but goodbye. Otherwise, I'll be back next week. This is the last time I'll probably talk to you guys until the Cardinals play in a postseason game. So when you think of me, think well. This may be the last time I speak to you. So be careful out there. Bernie, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Take care, Will.
Be safe, everyone. See ya. Go Cardinals. Right. Yay.